Entomologists Lois and Charlie O'Brien spent their entire careers collecting and classifying insects from all over the world. Weevils, to be exact. They're a type of beetle. They are often known for killing crops, but they can also be useful in the agriculture industry. They've gathered more than 1 million of them over the years and meticulously classified them in a collection that's estimated to be worth $12 million. And now they're donating their life's work to ASU. The bequest sets ASU up as a premier leader in weevil studies. Dr. Nico Franz, associate professor and curator of the insect collection at ASU, took me on a tour of the collection.
Here we go. Yes. So they have something like 1,260 drawers that look like this.
Wow.
Okay, 1.25 million specimen number. If you take a mental image of this single drawer, each of them can hold, depending on the size of the weevils, and these are all weevils, between 10 and 200 specimens. Right? And so an individual drawer like this, this one, I would estimate, has about 600 to 800 specimens in it.
So tell me about the weevils. Why are these important?
One way to access this, it's a little overwhelming, I think, sometimes for our brains, is that worldwide we have classified maybe something like 5,500 species of mammals. And so that would include all of the bats and all of the rodents, the monkeys. You add all of those up, you get to 5,500. With the weevils, we estimate 220,000 species.
Wow.
So that's mammals times 40 or so. Just capturing the totality of the diversity, you know, I think it's a basic human curiosity that at least some of us definitely have, that our students also have, mm-hmm. right? And that the way the O'Briens sort of embody that is very infectious, at least to some of us. And then if you do consider that they have maybe 100 or 200,000 species, and 1 or 2% of those species are significant to crops and cultivated plants that we have, then you've got the economic impact.
So right. Where do you even begin when you get even a fraction of this collection? What are you all doing to try to look at this at this point?
You know, the scale really means that you have to have a small but very efficient team that can actually process it, right? Then the next step, what folks do is we try nowadays to bring these collections online virtually. We georeference the latter such that a computer can put them onto a map, right? Wow. And this then allows folks to, for example, go to Costa Rica on a Google Maps search, put some sort of search frame above and say, show me all the weevils here, and it'll pop up a map of visual identity of what we know about weevil diversity in Costa Rica based on what's stored in a physical way in these collections.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't scientists, mm-hmm. when you have that data available, when mm-hmm. someone can go online and
right.
look and see in Costa Rica mm-hmm. what's the diversity of weevils there, mm-hmm. what is that useful for? How can they apply that?
Right. I do think that there's also a human dimension to this, right? It's just part of the joy of discovery and exploration and the joy of nature, that and why we do this. There is, however, also a critical effect that if you ask about the identity of species in a certain area and also the dynamics of species over space and time, then our natural history collections are really quite powerful, you know, because they go back decades, in some cases centuries. You can now ask questions of what did we know about butterfly diversity in the Scottsdale area between 1940 and 1960 versus today. And so when people talk about the effects of possibly land use related changes in species distributions, well, we can ground the inferences of how species distributions have changed over time in a physical set of vouchers. And it relates to ecological and climate change and all kinds of other fields.
So it sounds like a lot of this, though, is about just the pursuit of knowledge.
Yeah, I would think so. And quite frankly, catching insects the way you catch weevils is just kind of fun. The memory, like how well you memorize individual collecting events, even decades later, is incredible. There's one weevil that was shown in one newspaper that I photographed that I collected in Costa Rica in 1999, and I still know what I wore that day when I collected that weevil. So it's that kind of discovery, somehow it burns itself into the brain quite strongly. We see it even in our undergraduate students when they go out into the field with us and they get some gear and they sort of, some of them are, you know, have very strong reservations, but others you can see it immediately. There's something that lights up.
So show me one of these, maybe an example of one, and what you look at when you see it.
Let me see. Find them. Yeah, let's just go back to the microscope thing. So I'll just show you one of these under the microscope. Maybe it's a bit of an acquired taste, but go ahead and take a look.
So
we will see is that weevil has a couple of eyes. Next to the head, right? The eyes have lots of little facets. From the eyes off goes the so-called rostrum or snout. At the tip of that snout, they have mouth parts. They have mandibles and a couple of other mouth part section. There is actually two pairs of wings.
When this became sort of finalized, that you knew you were going to get this collection here, what was even going through your mind? How excited were you?
I think it was some... You know, I mean, obviously happiness, but also pride and also a sense of validation that we've gotten so far, because what they have to give really is special. It's not just a monetary value. It's a lifetime of dedication that has a physical manifestation. But I think people find this touching also because, it's sort of like a testimony to the depth of human passion almost.
All right, Nico, Franz, thanks so much for showing me around today.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren.